Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Amen. Am I on? I can never tell. All right. I want to continue on with the message we preached last week and just apply it a little bit to what we're going through as a church with the death of someone that we were standing with in prayer. So I'd like you to turn your Bible again, although we're going to minister from another portion. If this is this mic on? I just got a big echo. Don't you appreciate our sound and video people? Gospel of John, chapter 2. Very familiar story to us of the turning of the water to wine at the wedding of Cana. And I think we'll read it again, and I just want to recap what we talked about last week and then just build on a little bit from another portion of Scripture. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there six water pots of stone, according to the manner of the purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it had come from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and then the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, and his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days." Last week, we just discussed the fact that the reality is that all the servants had to do was do their part, and Jesus did his part. And their part was to fill six water pots about this size with water. And Jesus turned it to wine. We asked the question, when did the water move from water to wine? It says that they put in water, and it also says that they drew out water. So somewhere between the journey of filling the pot with water and drawing out water, somewhere in the journey, on the way to where they were had been told to took it, it turned to wine. I personally feel it's kind of like communion. It turns to what the word says it is when you take it, and when you take it by faith. The reason I know that is because after communion, I've checked out the bread and the juice, and that's all it is. Amen? But it's much more than that when it's received by faith. But I want to focus this morning. Last week we focus more on the water and the responsibility of the servants. I want to focus this morning on the wine. And I want us to notice that the scripture says that it was good wine. In fact, the master of the feast, the master of ceremonies, compliments the bridegroom and said, "Dude, way to go." Most people bring out, you know, the good wine in the beginning, and then when everyone's drunk and doesn't know the difference, then they serve the inferior. But you've got even better wine at the end of the feast than you had at the beginning. It was good wine. I want you to notice that it doesn't say it was awesome. It doesn't say it was heavenly. It doesn't say it was even the best wine. It was just good wine. And I want to suggest to you that when God turns water to wine, it is always good. And as we look at, as we stand this morning as a church who stood in prayer for someone and insisted on healing and we did not see it, that one thing that we can say, that in the process, we did our part and we carried the water. And I want to commend you as a church. I want to commend Pastor Dave. I want to commend Susie, wherever she is. You did a good job in doing all you could do to see him healed. And I've watched you do it before. I watched you do it with Kurt Cryer. And you did all you could do. And that's all we can do. Now, the reality is, we find ourselves this morning tasting the wine that we all carried in hopes of seeing Tom healed. And at best we can say, well, it's good wine, but there's a bit of a bitterness to it. It's not the sweetest wine we've ever tasted, but it is good. And there is, as Susie so eloquently put in her email, there is a bit of a rejoicing, and there is even a bit of, I suppose, a relief, because at least we're not carrying water for this one anymore. I think, personally, Tom is drinking of the very best wine heaven has to offer this morning. And we can find great rejoicing in that, but yet the reality is we are here with an awareness that God has been putting within us, a fire in our belly to see people healed, to see signs and wonders and miracle take place. And so when we've tried and pushed in so hard, how many tears are enough? How much fasting is enough? How many times of laying on hands and praying is enough? How much is enough? And we're left with the fact that as we do all we can do, and I believe we filled the water pots to the brim. Now, you might be here this morning and you might be wrestling with some guilt. You might say, you know, I kind of felt like I was prompted to go pray for Tom and I didn't. Can I just encourage you that you can take great comfort in the fact that this morning you were a part of a family? And if you had a pail of water to add to the water pot that you did not add, I've got every confidence that somebody in the family did. But I've got every confidence that all six water pots were full to the brim. I've got all confidence that we did, as a church, as a family, as we did all we could do. And now we're left with not quite understanding why the wine that we're tasting this morning is not quite as sweet a wine as we had hoped. There's a joy in it. There's even a bit of a celebration in it. But there's a bit of a bitterness. If we're really honest, it's like, this is good wine, but I've tasted better. And I thank God for the good wine. And we can thank God that Tom is walking on streets of gold. We can thank God that Tom knew the Lord. And even though we don't probably understand it, probably came to know him better in his last days than he had all his life. And had a depth of pressing in that perhaps he had never had before. So where do we go from here? I believe that falling short in a task like this doesn't destroy faith, it builds it. There now is a greater faith. There's less of a confidence in our abilities. There's less of a confidence in formulas. There's less of a confidence in methodology, and there's just left with a longing to understand, not to see just the acts of God, but to understand the ways of God.
Just to understand, God, see, how many of you over the past several years, really, we've been coming to an understanding here at Living Waters, as is the whole body of Christ, that we are sons and daughters without having to perform. And there's nothing we can do. We do not have to perform to prove that we are sons of God. But I want to say to you this morning that God does not have to perform for us to prove that He's our Father. I want to say that again. God does not have to perform for us to somehow prove that He loves us or that He's our Father or that He's a good God. He is a good God, and it isn't based upon what He does or doesn't do. It's based upon who He is. It's based upon His character, and it's based upon what He said about Himself. He is a good God, and He always does good things. Good things. We're talking this morning about good wine. So if you're here this morning and you find yourself questioning some things, can I say this to you? Good. Search out the answer. Press into God. It doesn't shake our faith in God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of not seen. As soon as we see some things and soon as we get the things we hope for, then there's always a new faith. Can I ask you, I want to ask you a question. What if God would have healed Tom of brain cancer? What then? Can I be so bold as to say, so what? It wouldn't have made God any more God. It wouldn't have made Him any more loving. It wouldn't have changed who He is. And I'm not even sure, in all reality, it would have changed all that much who we are. You know, we have a gospel who gives us great comfort when death comes. And yet sometimes when it comes, we just fight it. And I understand the loss of a husband and I understand all that, but the reality is Susie's email is right. He's walking on streets of gold. He's in a place. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we've got to come to a place to where we allow the wine to be the wine that He purposes it to be. Now, I understand that some of you this morning are here and you don't drink wine, and that's okay. But some have a favorite wine. And that's okay. And the challenge that we're faced with is this wine, Lord, that we're having to drink this morning isn't the best. It's good. But it's not the best. And I believe the Lord would say, who are you to judge another man's wine? You know, we tend to think that Jesus healed everybody and He didn't. He healed those who came to Him, it says in several places. But we know that He probably walked by the man at Gate Beautiful who had been there for years and years and years begging alms, going into the temple, which Jesus went into many times. And I'm assuming He didn't use the back door every time. And yet that man was unhealed until Peter and James or John healed him. We know that Jesus went into the pool of Bethesda where there were five courts full of, the Bible says, multitudes of lame, blind, and paralyzed people, and he only healed one and left. We need to understand that although we love to get enthused about the acts of God, we need to know the ways of God. We need to understand his ways, and we need to understand that Father knows best. That's another TV show from way back. But he really does, and I know we wrestle with that, but he does. And in these times, we've got to have confidence in him, the only one who can take water and turn it to wine, in the ability of him who can do that to determine the best flavor for the particular occasion, even if we find it a bit bitter. Can I say to you this? The worst thing you and I could do this morning is refuse to drink the wine. Turn with me to the book of Romans in chapter 8. We're going to do the same thing we did last week, and you're going to minister. Just going to do it a little different. Romans chapter 8. Everybody say good. Everybody say good wine. Romans chapter 8. Let's begin at verse 27. The Apostle Paul is writing, and he's establishing the fact that we really are children of God. I've said before, and I'll say again, I believe one of the biggest responsibilities the Holy Spirit has is convincing us we really are God's kids. We really, really are. And then he talks a bit about the groaning that's going on. By the way, if you're wondering what's happening in Japan right now, it's right here. Well, I'm not going to read it, and I'm not going to preach it, but it's just the earth groaning for the revealing of the sons of God. We can say, well, did God do this or did the devil? The earth is in travail. And there's scriptures in places that just talk about the earth just being in travail. And Romans chapter 8 is one of them. And there is a groaning. All of creation is groaning. Most certainly don't ascribe what is happening in Japan. Do not ascribe it to God. And I'm not even sure we should ascribe it to the devil. If it makes you feel better, go ahead. But I don't think he's that powerful. It is the groaning of the earth. It is the culmination. We are in the last days when all... Alan had a good word for me this morning, or just sharing something he heard. We are living in days when all heaven is breaking loose. There's wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes, and it's all culminating, and we know how it ends, and we know where it leads, and it's, there's a bitterness to the wine even there. There's it's like, oh God. And in these seasons, we cannot get focused on the acts of God. We've got to get focused on the ways of God. And we've got to get focused on the big picture. Those of you who are parents know that there are times when your kids come to you with requests, and they have this little small request that you have to add to the big picture of all of family life and make a decision on that request. We who are church leaders know that congregation members bring us words and impressions, and intercessors get all wrapped up in the, ooh, God said. Well, good. But it's a little small piece of leading a congregation, and we have to add it to the mix and do that which is good for the whole of the body. And so it is with God. He's sorting out something so much bigger than we can see. He who sees the end from the beginning, he who calls the things that do not exist as though they did, he is at work and he is working a master plan, and he is serving up a wine. And he is turning water to wine, and he is doing miracles. And I don't know, I don't understand this, but even in Tom's situation, God did some miracles. He did some amazing things. And I don't like the outcome, and I don't like the wine that at the final analysis gets served here on earth. But I bet it's tasting pretty good in heaven. So even in on a world level and all that's going on, it's like, don't feel like somehow God's not on the throne. God is on the throne. And that doesn't mean he's orchestrating everything. In fact, we're going to read a scripture here that's... Anyway. So verse 27 of Romans chapter 8. Now he, capital H, who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit, capital S, is, because he, capital H, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good. We're talking about good wine. For good. In the Greek, the word good means good. It's not like awesome. It's not like the very best. It's good. All things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. You know, if we could just stop there, I'd feel a lot better. But we got to read the next two verses. That puts the ball back in God's hands with predestination and all kinds of things, and we're made aware of his sovereignty, and it's like, so then we want to come back to then, well, then why God? But we'll read it. If I can find it. For whom he foreknew, verse 29, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, who he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. And so we have this awesome pronouncement of the justification and the predestination and all the sovereignty, if I could say it that way, of God. And so then we want to argue again. All right then, why is the wine bitter? Why right now is the wine in Japan very, very, very bitter? I'm going to tell you. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I don't know. We don't understand these things. Do you know that there's a mystery to godliness? Do you know that there's a mystery to faith? Do you know that there's a mystery to healing? Do you know that there's a mystery to the gospel of Jesus Christ? There's a mystery. At times like this, I am responsible that all I'm responsible for, even here this morning, all I'm responsible for is carrying water. Hey, little water boy, get your book bucket now. Mule Skinner Blues. That's all we can do is carry water. And on one hand, there's great comfort, and on another hand, if I were God, can I just say, if you were God, I wouldn't be here? Either because you'd have condemned me long ago and stoned me or whatever, or you wouldn't be worth following. Take your pick. But we're not God, and we don't understand the fullness of the scope. And see, that's what I think, even in a situation like Tom's, there's a bigger picture to what's going to take place yet because of what did take place. What if there's family members and this is going to do something of some significance in their life concerning their relationship with God that could not have ever happened if Tom had been healed? And God knows that. What if? And so what do we do? So we continue to contend for it. We continue to carry the water, and we continue to carry it with gusto, and we continue to fill the pot to the brim. And we continue to know that there's better wine a-coming. In certain situations, why is it some people need to get their healing from the doctor? You know what I will not do? I will not condemn you, and I will not take condemnation on myself for people not getting healed. I will not. That's not the nature of my Father. If we have to place blame, and I don't think any blame has to be placed. In fact, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say it. But God's big enough to handle it. Amen. Now, you may be here this morning and you didn't really give a rip about Tom. Can't believe he said that. But you've got your own stuff going on. Maybe you didn't know him, but you've got your own stuff going on. How do we handle disappointment? How do we handle it when we've done everything, at least we feel like we've done everything we can do to carry water, and the wine that ends up being served is, at best, good. How you doing? Good. How you feel? Good. You might be here this morning and you've gone through a season of disappointment. You might be here this morning and you might be ticked at God. I want you to know He can handle it. You can be ticked at God. Did you know that's okay? He can handle it. You think He's shocked by your weakness or mine? You might be here this morning and you might be in financial crisis, and it's like, God, Marcy and I are in a place we never thought we'd ever be. But it's good. In fact, there's a sweetness to it that's better than the same old wine we drank for so many years. We got accustomed to it. And it's like, well, let's have change anyway. Well, we got it. Amen. You might be here and you might be in financial places of disappointment. You might be here in places of disappointment with health or with relationships. I want to encourage you in your God. And I want to encourage you, do not measure His love for you by the wine that you find yourself drinking right now. Never measure the love of God by your circumstances. Never measure the power of God by your circumstances. Never, His arm is not short and His ear is not deaf. You might be here this morning and you need healing, and it's like, well, all the air just went out of your balloon. Psh, psh, psh.
Let us put it back in. Your God is a God who heals. Your God is a God who delivers. Your God is a God who always, always does good. Your God is a God who always, always, when we pray, something always happens. Always. Oh, just drink it. Do you know one of the biggest ways of warfare is in times like this to just have a good laugh in the enemy's face? And to just, their kids in here, just give them a spiritual finger. The enemy, I mean. It's just like, take that. You know when John the Baptist got his head beheaded? You know what Jesus went out and did? Is just as quick as he could, he went out and he healed a bunch of people. And he gave the adversary the finger and said, no. Well, he did. And he got beyond the disappointment, and it wounded Jesus deeply when John the Baptist was beheaded. It's true. It's like, anyway. So we're going to do something this morning. I want the whole Delwo family, if they would, to line up along that wall over there, the windows. Marcy and I are going to join you. I want anyone else over there who's carrying a bit of disappointment about this or about any other circumstance in your life, I want you to line up among the windows, just along in that aisle, just facing out. Now, if that is not you, that's okay, because you get to minister. But if you are here this morning and you're just carrying disappointment and things did not work out, if you're here this morning and you're upset with God, you need to be in that line. If there's any area where you just stood believing, it might be your finances, it might be relationships, it might be, and there is in you, there's an emptiness like, God, what's up? Or God, what are you doing? Or God, are you even here? Or like the guys in the boat during the storm, don't you even care that we're perishing? Okay, we're going to have a healing hope tunnel this morning. I'm going to ask if, let's see, we need far more hope than we do healing. I'm going to ask if those of you who are comfortable would come on up, and we're just going to do a hope tunnel. Would come on up, two lines across from each other. We're going to walk between you. Most of you know the... And you're just going to minister to us, because I'm going to be in that line. As soon as I'm done leading this, I'm going to be in that line. You can go on down this way. Come on up. This is your opportunity to minister. Now, those of you, listen up. Those of you who are in these two lines, if you want to, when you're done, you can go through this tunnel, but you don't need to, because you don't have any disappointment. So you get a gold star, but other than that, that's about it. No, but if you find, because God's going to move here this morning, and here's what we're going to do. From Alan and, no, you're going to stay there. We're going to have just a little bit of a break right here. From all of you right here, you're imparting healing, because before they get to the hope, they got to get healed. And you guys are all, so that's your focus. Father, we just commission this team of people to impart healing. Holy Spirit, we invite your healing presence to heal brokenheartedness in the name of Jesus. We commission this team of people.
to be healers, 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 healers of hearts, healers of minds, spirits, shoo, spirits filled with healing power. We commission this team to be ministers of hope, fresh faith, an awareness that God is God, but He is God. He is God and He alone is God. A grace, an impartation of hope. Ministers of hope, carriers of the gospel of hope. If the Lord gives you a word, make it brief, but release it. It might be one word. There's going to be prophetic flow that's going to come. Impartation, infusion of hope. Those of you who are waiting, get ready. Healing. Those of you who are coming through the line, by the time you get to here, you're healed. Get over it. I'm serious. You are healed. Get over it and posture yourself to receive hope. What side do you want to be on? Healing or hope?
Healing.
All right. Amen. When you get to Casey, get over it. If you ain't over it by then, get back in line and go through this part. But don't try to get hope, the infusion of hope, until you know you've got the healing. But it's not hard to get, is it, Laura? Go get it. Just make pronouncements over healing, healing, the healing power of God. Brokenheartedness, go to hell. Okay, let's go. Let's go. Let's have the Del Wolf family.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes. Heal. Heal. Peace.
How are you doing?
Encouragement.
Strength. Praise you, Father. Healing, healing.
Yes.
Is this guy part of the Delwell
yes,
family?
Yes. Okay. And yeah, and his wife. Okay. Okay.
I want to encourage you as a family. This does not mean we don't grieve. And I should have said that publicly, but we need to give room for grieving, and that's okay. That is, it isn't a lack of faith to grieve. It isn't a lack of faith to go through the process of weeks of just processing things.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage you with that. We have a fresh hope, and yet we do grieve, and it's healthy.
Yes.
And it's part of the process. It's love that causes us to grieve. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, this seems weird, but I have a picture of you. I see you sitting on a throne, and you've got a gold and a pure gold crown, and you're just rolling it around your finger, just like this casually. It's just really this casual. I feel like the Lord just says that it's about the abundance, that the abundance is so great that you can be casual with something that in our human perspective just seems so large. Bring that increase, Lord God. Bring that increase, Lord. Bring that increase.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Father.
Yes. Fresh new hope. Fresh new hope.
Yes.
Deeper than it's ever gone before. Fresh new hope. Disappointment can crush into a million stars.
Yes, Father, Jesus. In Jesus' name, Father, fill with joy. Fill with joy.
Thank you, Father.
That the body has, Lord, bring that forth, or give him the word to utter, Lord, as he speaks through this region, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, deeper, deeper revelation, Father. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oosh.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Where's our sound man? Where's our sound man? Anything. Is it? Okay. Thanks, Henry. I just want to dismiss, if you want to. I want to make sure that we understand when we go through difficult times, grief is okay. I just told the Delwell family, we need to be free to grieve. Grieving is not a lack of faith. It is the process of life. If you're here this morning and you didn't come forward and you'd still like to, the line is still open. Father, we just thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you for our ability to appreciate all your wine, all the different bouquets and flavors. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.